I appreciate the thoughts that Brother Dustin has shared with us and his sincere prayer, and ask you to continue to pray for me as I endeavor to preach to you tonight. This morning at Oak Grove, I endeavored to preach from the last two verses of the 8th chapter of Romans, where Paul would say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, it really wouldn't matter how much God loved us. If something could separate us from his love, then that would be tragic, beyond description. But he loves us with an unconditional love, so nothing can separate us from his love. And many of our brethren in the religious world will agree that God loves with a perfect love, and nothing can separate us from his love, but they end up teaching that you yourself can be separated from him. Now, if God loves somebody, but that person ends up in hell, would you say that person is separated from God? I would say yes. And what good is it going to do that person in hell if God still loves them? It's not going to do them any good at all. But I'm here to declare to you all tonight that not only can nothing separate us from his love, nothing can separate us from him. Jesus said in John 14, I'm coming back to get y'all so that where I am, there you may be also. He wants you with him. He doesn't want you anywhere else. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever, what? Be with the Lord. That's salvation, being with him. And that's what he desires, and that's what he will have. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. That kind of love is really beyond comprehension. Human love is wonderful. We experience love in our families. We experience love in our neighborhood. We experience love in our church. But human love, as wonderful as it is, can be interrupted. It can even be weakened to the point where people no longer love one another. And that's Satan's purpose. He loves to divide people and cause them not to love one another. Now, nothing can separate us from the love of God, but I can assure you tonight there is somebody who would like to separate us from his love, and I'll give you one guess. Do you know who would love to separate you from the love of God? It's the devil. I have said this many times. Love, the kind of love God has for us, is something that Satan simply cannot comprehend. Love is foreign to his being. He loves himself, but I can tell you, he has no concept of sacrificial love. Loving somebody else. And I have said this, and I believe it with all of my heart, that the greatest surprise that Satan had was when God the Father was willing to give his only son. Satan never counted on that. I suspect Satan had enough intelligence to know that the sin debt was such that no human being could pay it. No angel could pay it. So he figured he had us. But lo and behold, wonder of all wonders, God sent his own son into this world to die for us. How many of y'all can comprehend that love? We sung one of my favorite songs tonight about the love of God. It's so deep and strong, you could never measure it. You could never, it's untold. It's incomprehensible. And yet God has given us a book that I believe is divinely inspired that gives us insight into the love of God. Now it's one thing to write a book like the Bible. And I believe the Bible is a divine miracle. It's the greatest book that's ever been written. But it really didn't cost God anything to write this book. You know what it cost him? I want to tell you something that was hard for God to do. Now you may say, Brother Sam, wait a minute now. You're treading on dangerous ground. You know there's nothing hard for God. Well, it wasn't hard for God to create the heaven and the earth. He did that in 6 days. He could have done it in 1 second. He chose to do it in 6 days. Now, I know the Bible says he rested on the Sabbath day, but that I don't think means that he was weary or exhausted. It was not the rest of weariness. I think it was the rest of satisfaction. He was satisfied with what he had done. He looked at it. He said, it's good. It's very good. So he rested on the Sabbath day. But he didn't rest because he was exhausted, that he had spent his energy. Not like you and I are after we've done a hard day's work. What would be hard for God? This being that could create worlds on top of worlds, that holds the oceans in the hollow of his hand, that created the mountains. What could be hard for him? I'll tell you what I believe. It was hard for him to give his only son. Do you all think God enjoyed doing that? He did it. We know he did it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But please don't ever think that was easy for God. His son. I know Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 53, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why did it please God to bruise his son? Because in bruising his son at Calvary, he was going to pay the sin debt for all of the elect family. And that was the only way to get us all home to glory, was giving his only son. So he did it. But please, please don't ever underestimate what it cost our Heavenly Father. You know, there's an expression in John's gospel that is just, I have literally sat and wept as I have pondered this expression. Notice in John chapter 17, Jesus is saying in verse 24, he's praying. And we call this the high priestly prayer. He's praying it before he goes to the cross. And he says in verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, Now, when did the Father give us to His Son? In a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. And who did He give to the Father? His elect. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am. That's what Jesus wants. He wants you where He is. Does that bless you all tonight? Those are not just meaningless words. Jesus is talking to His Heavenly Father and says, Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am. And where is that? That's not on the cross. That's not at Calvary. That's not at Golgotha's Hill. You know where He is, beloved? He's in His glory. He is in His Father's house in heaven. And He would that we be with Him where He is, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me. Now listen. You might want to buckle your seatbelt for this statement. This, if anything could blow our minds, this would do it. For Thou lovest Me, before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee, and these have known that Thou hast sent Me. And then verse 23, Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. You know what Jesus is saying? He loves you all as much as He loves His Son Jesus. I can't get anything else out of verse 23. Let's read it again. I in them and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me. And the Father loved Him before the world ever was. And He loves you all the same way. And you're sitting there thinking, Brother Sam, look around. Look around at us pitiful little specks of human dust. You know God couldn't love Sam Bryant the way He loves His Son Jesus. That's what the verse says. I understand that's beyond anything we could ever really begin to comprehend. That's a love beyond knowledge. But I'm glad to be able to tell you all tonight, based on the book God has given us, nothing can separate us from His love. Satan would love to. Satan would love to whisper in God's ear and tell lies on us and charge us. But I want to declare to you all tonight, it won't work. Satan can divide families. He can divide husbands and wives. He can divide churches because he whispers in our ear things about other people. And we buy into it. And the first news you know, your love for somebody is dwindling. It's growing cold. Satan loves to tear up people, tear up relationships. Do y'all know that? I would encourage every husband and wife in this house tonight to know there's somebody that doesn't want you to love one another. You say, Brother Sam, surely not. Oh, Satan loves to tear up marriages. He loves to divide husbands and wives, and he's good at it. He's at every wedding. And when those marriage vows are being taken, he's plotting and scheming to tear that marriage to smithereens. Don't you ever doubt it. Satan loves to divide siblings. I have known siblings who shared a mama and a daddy that would fall out with each other and wouldn't speak to each other for 20 plus years. Can you imagine that? Families, don't ever let anybody separate you from your siblings. Be a tight, close family. But I can tell you, Satan would love to have you fall out with your brother or your sister. He would love to do that. I want to encourage y'all to keep your families close and tight. And furthermore, he would love to divide parents and children, separate them. And I've known that. I know cases tonight where children have not spoken to their parents in years. See, I know a lot of people from here to California and a lot of sad stories. And don't ever think it couldn't happen to you and your kids if you let the devil have space in your life. Paul said, give no place to the devil. You give him a foothold, that's all he wants. He'll move in. And he'll tear down as much as he possibly can. Furthermore, he loves to get into neighborhoods and get neighbors falling out with one another, where they build big, tall fences. I remember a case in Statesboro. These two women fell out. They were actually cousins. And the one that fell out with her cousin was not well off. She put up one of the ugliest fences you've ever seen in your life. It wouldn't have been so bad if it had been a pretty vinyl privacy fence, but no, she had to put up an old rusty tin fence, and it went about 10 feet tall. And it was ugly to the neighborhood, but she didn't want to lay eyes on her cousin. Who do you reckon was behind all that? The devil was. I believe I got y'all's attention with that story. Now, I didn't make that one up. And I want to tell you something else. The devil loves to get into a church family and start tearing up and getting church members who used to love to be together and wash one another's feet. And he loves to get them upset with one another where they'll hardly speak to one another. Satan loves to divide. He loves to conquer. He loves to tear down. And you and I are no match for him. You and I need to understand that. And when Jesus is talking about the end of time over in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many will wax cold. And I wonder in my mind if we're not there today. I want to tell you, America is more divided probably than it's ever been in its history. It's pitiful, isn't it? The division that there is. And this information age is not helping. I'm telling you, a lot is on social media that is tearing people up and dividing people. I don't even know how to get on Facebook. Now listen, I understand that people love Facebook. And I'm sure it's just like a gun. It can be used for a good purpose, and a lot of people use it for that. And Nelda, my sweet wife, is constantly showing me pictures of our friends and family and grandkids, and that's a good thing. But I want to caution you to watch out for Facebook. One of my dear friends in Birmingham used to call it Wastebook. He said, once you get on there, you just can hardly get off. There's so much to see and do and keep up with. But I'll tell you, Satan will use it. He'll use it, brethren and sisters, to tear down if you'll let him. Are y'all, I know y'all not going to get off of Facebook. I'm not even going to try to ask y'all to. But I am going to ask y'all to be careful. Because I want to tell you, the devil will do everything in his power. Twitter, Instagram, you know, all that stuff is very dangerous. It's almost like you're a peeping Tom. I mean, there's a lot going on in people's lives I really don't need to know about. Can I get a witness? I don't really need to know what y'all had for breakfast. Honestly. Now, if you're sick and you want somebody to pray, please let us know. But I'll tell you, beloved, a lot of it is narcissistic to the bone. And it's all about the person. And let me tell you, I can tell you for a fact now, people don't put their worst pictures on Facebook. They're going to put them glamour shots. And you're going to see the picture and then you see them and you wonder what happened. Satan will use those things to tear up and divide. And I'm praying for my grandchildren when they go off to college, because I know Satan has already gained a lot of influence on the faculty. A lot of those teachers don't even believe in God, and they're agnostics. When I went to Middle Georgia College, I remember very well, my biology teacher brought a Bible in the classroom and held it up and indicated, we're not going to be going by this. I remember Brother Sonny Piles telling me about a student he knew that was in college, and the teacher took a Bible in the college classroom and threw it on the floor and stomped on it and said, we'll have none of this in here. What is that about? They're wanting to separate you from God, your heavenly Father, your Creator, your best friend. And I'd say to all the children that are here tonight, Satan is after your little mind. Mamas and daddies better be brainwashing their kids. I mean, educating them in the Word of God, because Satan is after them. He is evil. He is evil beyond words. And so Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall what? Wax cold. You can read about that in Matthew 24. I want to ask you all a question tonight, and this is a very personal question. And I don't expect you to answer it out loud, but I want you to ponder it in your mind. What state is your heart in tonight? Do you really love people? Do you care for people? Do you pray for one another? I'm serious about that, beloved. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Satan wants us to look down on people. I understand how he operates. And you and I have got to be very careful about that. So we're no match for the devil, but I'll tell you one thing. God has given us all we need to fight the good fight. And I want to close tonight by going to a verse that I use in every wedding that I perform. I'll be using it, Brother Daniel, at your wedding, unless I lose my mind now. I always close out a wedding with this verse. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Not hard-hearted. Tenderhearted. Be ye what? Kind. Y'all know what kindness is. You know when somebody's kind to you, don't you? And you know when they're not kind. Come on, folks. You don't have to have a college degree to know what kindness is. Paul says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You may say, well, Brother Sam, why would you read that at a wedding? You know the husband and wife love one another. Yeah, but they're going to need that verse before the honeymoon's over. Come on, folks. Are we in reality or what? He said, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted. It's one thing to date somebody. It's another thing to live with them. You know the old saying, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener. And if you're going to have a good home, if you're going to have a good marriage, you're going to have to learn to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving one another. And how am I to forgive somebody? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. Did you know that God forgave Sam Bryant 2,000 years ago on the cross? When Jesus Christ, his darling son, perfect in all his ways, was hanging up there dying for me God forgave me. Why? For Jesus' sake. Let me illustrate what I think that means. You know, Franklin and I had a daddy that paid his debts. He worked hard. He tried to pay his debts. He had a good name in the community. And if we went out to Danville to borrow any money at the bank, you know what? They'd usually show daddy's children. They'd give them some credit. You know why? For daddy's sake. Because they knew he'd been an honest man and he had paid his debts. So for dad's sake, we could get some credit. Are y'all following me? Well, I'm here to tell you all tonight, for Jesus' sake, what Jesus did on that cross, God has forgiven me. Now, I wouldn't want you to know all that God has forgiven me of, but every sin I've ever committed or ever will forgive, commit has been forgiven for one reason, for Jesus dying on that cross for me. Now, I'm supposed to forgive you as God forgave me. How good are y'all at forgiving now? I'm asking. You know, I said today that good teachers ask a lot of questions. Paul asked 6 of them right there in Romans 8. Jesus asked a lot of questions. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man? Questions are good ways of teaching. I want to ask y'all, how good are y'all at forgiving people and forgetting it? Now, I don't mean forgetting in the sense that you have no memory of it, but you just don't keep it on the screen. Come on. I tell you, the best way to forgive people, remember how you've been forgiven. How much you've been forgiven. Goodness. It's never been told how much I've been forgiven. But it's all been forgiven for His sake. Now I want to forgive you all for His sake. See, let's not play religion. See, if we go around with grudges in our hearts and unforgiveness, we're just playing Christianity. Let me tell you, when you forgive somebody, a double blessing has come. You know what? You've forgiven them, which is a blessing to them, and now you're free. You know, when you have unforgiveness in your heart, you know what that's like? That's like locking yourself in a prison cell and taking the key and throwing it across the hall. You just locked yourself up in a prison. Unforgiveness. Going around with unforgiveness in your heart. It's too heavy, beloved. It's just too heavy. I heard about the man one time, every time he had a sack on his back and every time he got his feelings hurt, he picked up a rock and put it in the sack. Well, it wasn't long. The sack was so heavy he couldn't carry it. Finally, he woke up to what was going on. He cut a hole in the bottom of the sack. That's what you and I need to be doing. See, nothing can separate us from God's love, but something can separate us from the love we have for each other. And it's our job to make sure that doesn't happen. And so, Paul, knowing how the Ephesians were and how they might end up falling out with one another, gives them wonderful advice. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Read something that the apostle gives to the churches of Colossae. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 12 and 13. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Elder Byrd used to say it takes two bears to have a good marriage, bearing and forbearing. He loved Sister Bossy. He didn't get married till he was 58 years old. He was giving himself to the cause of Christ. Never did own an automobile. He walked just about everywhere he ever went. He was a long, tall fella, and he could walk fast. But he finally agreed to marry Bossy when he was 58 years old. She was an old maid school teacher. I spent many a happy night in their home. She was a southern lady. She always kept a white tablecloth on their little table. They weren't wealthy, but I tell you, they were classy. And they just made me feel right at home. But I tell you, every once in a while, I'd hear him get on to Bossy, and I'd think, what in the world? I'd tremble. Brother Bird, Sister Bossy told me one day, she said, Brother Sammy, I love him, dust, dirt, devil, and all. Husbands and wives need to learn to love one another. Dust, dirt, devil, and all. And keep the devil out. And Brother Bird, bless his heart, you know, he would write on hand fans, Pat Bird is a dead dog. He knew he was a sinner. But I tell you, when he saw his failure, he would humble down. He would acknowledge it. And people just loved him. He just was a unifying brother in the cause of Christ. Now, he was firm, but I tell you, you just had to love him because you knew he loved Jesus, he loved the church, he loved the gospel. You know, Paul told Timothy, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle toward all men. I want to be gentle to all men. You can't go around kicking people in the shins and expect them to get along. We all need to be gentle one to another. I've enjoyed trying to preach to you all tonight. I hope the message has come from my heart to your heart. I know, I'm so glad nothing can separate us from God's love. If it could have been done, we'd have done it. Right? But nothing's going to separate you from His love. Amen. That dying thief on that cross, you wouldn't have wanted him for a neighbor, a son-in-law, or nothing else. He was getting what he deserved. He was being executed. But I want to tell you, his sins didn't separate him from Jesus. You know what Jesus said to that dying thief? He said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. Do y'all love that? Jesus wanted him with him. Jesus came down here to save sinners, and he took a big one back with him to glory. Saved, washed, redeemed, whiter than snow. And that's how you and I are going. The same way the thief went, through the precious blood of Jesus. Thank y'all for your good attention tonight.